Chapter 15. To heck with finding the killer, Ida said as they rushed back into Ruth's apartment a short time later. The layout was the same as Nan's condo, but in reverse. Next to the lavishness of Herman's house before, Ruth's current abode looked downright austere. Beige furniture, beige walls, beige carpet and tile. A few framed photos were scattered around the place, mainly of Ruth and her late husband George together, and one or two of Ruth and Nunzio. But even though the furnishings were plain, the place smelled divine. Ruth had vases overflowing with lilacs, and the air was happy with the fresh floral scent. There was a tall, etched crystal vase on the table, dripping with lavender blossoms, a bulbous, squatty, round vase on the kitchen counter, stuffed with trailing white flowers, and there were smaller vases lining the pass-through counter, each with dark purple blooms sprouting from the top. "I want to find that $4 million coin Herman told us about," Ida said, making a beeline for the round oak table in the center of the dining room area. "Where are they?"
"Let's not forget that Herman knew about the coins. He admitted it in the restaurant," Nance cautioned. "I don't see why we let him go. He could be the killer."
"Herman?" Helen scrunched up her nose. "He's too nice. Besides, he has an alibi. He wasn't in town."
"So he says," Nance said. "We should check that first before ruling him out."
"We will," Helen said.
"Looks like they cleaned up from the break-in quickly," Lexi said while Ruth fixed them a tray of tea and cookies in the pass-through kitchen.
"Yes, thankfully. To think someone would toss my place to try and find that stupid coin."
Ruth shuddered.
"Whoever it was, they gave me quite a fright. They're just lucky Nunzio wasn't around. He would have dealt with them fast and not very nicely either."
"Coins," Ida said again, snapping her fingers, her tone impatient.
Nance gave her friend a look.
"Let me see if I can find them."
She reached into her large patent leather handbag and pulled out a small mason jar filled with the coins they'd pulled from the olds. She unscrewed the lid and spilled them out onto the table, then spread them out into one layer.
"Let's go through these one by one while Helen looks them up on her iPad."
"Got you covered," Helen said, pulling out her tablet and firing it up. "Ready."
Ruth brought out the refreshments, and Lexi helped her set them out. Then they all got to searching. 20 minutes later, however, they'd still not found the $4 million winner, just a few silver dimes and a couple of old quarters that were worth about a dollar each.
"So much for anything valuable," Ruth said, sighing.
"Oh, no," Ida said, her expression aghast. "You don't think it was one of the ones we used in the slot machines last month, do you?"
"Don't be ridiculous," Ruth said, frowning. "Those casinos don't take real coins anymore, remember? You have to feed your bills in, and then they give you that ticket thing at the end of your games. I distinctly remember because you got into a heated discussion with that nice older fellow who was running the cashier cage, because you wanted a free bucket for your coins. And when he tried to explain that you wouldn't need one, you told him exactly where he could get off and how to get there. Why, Lexi, I'm telling you, I've never been so mortified in all my..."
Ida jutted her chin out, a sure sign of trouble.
"For your information, those new slot machines are ridiculous, and I was nothing but nice to that cashier until he started to treat me like a helpless little old lady. Heck, I could bench press him and that slot machine receipt maker contraption with one hand tied behind my back. Why, I should have done more than tell him off. I should have..."
"Wait a minute."
Nance frowned over at Ruth and Ida, cutting off their less than titillating discussion about modern slot machine protocol.
"What about that jewelry you had made, Ruth? The earrings and bracelet? Those were coins from your car, right?"
"Yes, they were."
Ruth hurried into the other room and returned with the box Joe had given her the other day. She also brought a necklace Lexi hadn't seen before and laid it on the table. "Let's see if any of these match, Helen." Helen leaned closer and snapped a few photos, then downloaded them into the search engine she was using.
"Nope, no match."
"Shoot." Ida sat back and crossed her arms. "What about your new charm bracelet? Joe made that for you too, right?"
Ruth clasped her wrist reflexively.
"Oh, I don't have it right now. It's at the jeweler's. I'm getting the clasp fixed from when I caught it on the bumper the other day. It's after 5 now and they're closed. I can't call them until tomorrow."
Lexi exhaled. Seemed they were at a dead end yet again. Then she remembered something Jack had mentioned the other night. The police found a coin at the storage bay during their investigation. Jack said it was close to the front bumper, so I assumed it must have come from Ruth's bracelet when the clasp broke. Remember how I mentioned that to you, Ruth? The ladies turned to look at Lexi in unison.
"That's perfect, dear," Nan said. "Think you can sweet-talk that husband of yours into letting us in to take a look at it?"
Lexi's stomach cramped. Given the current precarious situation between her and Jack, she wasn't sure she could get him to tell her the time, let alone let her and the ladies sneak into the evidence room. She didn't want to say that aloud, though. Nan's and her friends would only worry, and the last thing Lexi wanted right now was them fussing over her and making her feel worse about what may or may not be happening between Jack and that mysterious blonde. She cleared her throat and forced a smile.
"Let me talk to him tonight, and I'll tell you all first thing in the morning."
"Fine, dear." Nan smiled. "Jack's such a nice man." Lexi didn't answer, just pushed to her feet, making a show of checking her watch. "Look at the time. I really should get home. Jack will be wondering where I am." She said a hasty goodbye, promising to call Nan's tomorrow, then headed out, hoping to beat her husband home to give herself time to prepare.